Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media, if you are here live. If not, thanks for listening to the podcast. You can catch me live here every Wednesday and Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Welcome, you guys. It has been a week, man. Hey, some fun stuff I've done this week, though. One thing, if you haven't seen it yet, you should go to my BitChute page. It's Redneck Dentist on BitChute. And check out my first GoPro video. I just decided to start running some GoPro when I'm headed to work or home. And the first day out, I got pictures of the very first fawns born on the hill, and I'm telling you, they are tiny, and they had to have been born just within 24 hours of when I got them on video. So check that out. It's kind of fun. Never done a GoPro before. It's attached to my helmet, so there's some audio on there. You can hear it sometimes, and other times it's kind of garbled, so that'll get better as I figure out how in the heck to use that thing. But, okay, so go check out that video, Redneck Dentist, on BitChute. And it's kind of fun. You get to see my three-mile trip to work. I use the new, the dual sport motorcycle. So that was kind of cool. Okay, the bad news of the week is, yesterday I was standing out on the property and I started to move and something snapped in my left knee, and it turns out it was my meniscus. So I tore my meniscus in my left knee, which I just wanted to kind of warn you a little bit here. I am not on I'm on over-the-counter pain meds right now. After the show, that may be different, but right now it's just over-the-counter pain meds. And, so you kind of forget sometimes that you're wounded. And if I fold my knee the wrong way, which I have a habit of doing when I'm doing the show here, I might squeak a little bit. I might make a little, uncomfortable sound. I'll try not to, but, oh my goodness. I'm telling you, the whole age thing, man, it's freaking retarded to, just be standing. Like maybe if I would have been like jumping my motorcycle off a jump or something, which I wouldn't do at this age, of course, I could see getting an injury, but I mean, just standing in one place and starting to take a step. Now, I'll be honest with you. Wait, I'm going to get a little drink here. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I've kind of felt this thing going for about 2 months. And what I mean by that, I've been having some pain when I stand up. And I was trying to figure out, what it was. Just pain in my left knee. And, I'd gained some weight lately, and I thought, okay, my joints are complaining. I probably ought to lose a little weight. And then I was thinking, well, maybe it's a pinched nerve or, whatever. But anyway, so it finally let me know what it was by completely tearing, and now I'll be referred to, ortho and see if it needs to be repaired or not. They like you to give it a week to see if it's going to get better, but I'm pretty sure it's not. So we'll see what happens with that. But anyway, if I make some obnoxious sound because I've folded my leg weird, Sorry about that. Let's see what else. Ruby, the golden retriever pup, will be here in 8 days. They say everything's good to go. 8 days, she'll be 8 weeks old and, you know, weaned, ready to go. And today, man, I'm telling you, I've said this, like, I know I've said this every show for at least, I don't know, 4 or 6 weeks. Well, not every show, but weekly at least. We are in like the perfect weather cycle for growing food, especially, but just for overall, like, environmental health, I guess, if you want to call it that. We will have like 2 or 3 days of maybe high clouds or clear sky, sunshine, 70 degrees, and then 2 or 3 days of rain. And like right now, it is flipping pouring here. I'm not kidding. Like really getting after it. So, I got to check something. Something just isn't quite right here. And what would it be? It's not that. Ah, hell, I'm going to ignore it. Anyway, yeah, so we're getting this, like, perfect weather. The cycle of weather is just, like, 3 days of warm, 3 days of rain. And everything is growing, like, unbelievably well right now. And you really got to count your blessings when everything's going well, because it's not always going to be like that. You know, you're going to hit some, you know, phases of just crappy weather. It's going to dry out pretty quick if it's going to be a typical season. And we'll have a ton of freaking sunshine and dry stretch and fires and who knows what else. But right now, man, it is the perfect roll. I'm not kidding. It actually makes me smile when I see either sun or rain in the forecast, because it's just been perfectly rotating through those things. Crazy stuff going on in the world, as always. You know, there's right now, there's like this huge debate on guns again, but I have some comments I want to make about that eventually. We're not going to do it right off the bat, because there's some other stuff that I just wanted to, I kind of wanted to zing through a few of these. Maybe, I can't really remember how many there are, but this one in particular caught my attention. I want to see, oh yeah, in Australia. I don't know if you guys saw this. This was from Conservative Review. Horowitz wrote this piece, Daniel Horowitz. It says, just one known unvaccinated person hospitalized last week in Australia's largest state. Now hang on one sec. Sorry about that. No, that wasn't a squeak. Okay, so this is the craziest thing. It really isn't crazy for most of the people who listen to my show, because most of the people that listen to my show know the truth. And the truth is, a stupid vaccine doesn't work at all. It's no good. I don't know why they continue to promote it. And I'll tell you something else. I kind of had this feeling when I was in the ER today. So I tore my meniscus last night. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know. I'll just call my doc tomorrow, because my doc usually works on Saturdays, but he's not doing that any longer. So when I couldn't get a hold of him today, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to the ER and just kind of figure out what's going on, so I know what to do between now and the time that I probably see my primary care or, an orthopod. So I'm sitting in the ER, and of course they have a TV on running their ads, like, you know, we don't tolerate any violence from patients, and how to wear your mask properly, and then this whole thing on vaccines, and, you know, does the COVID vaccine give you COVID, and, you know, does a COVID vaccine alter your DNA? And is a COVID vaccine good, you know, okay to for your children to have? And, you know, it's just complete propaganda. And I was thinking to myself, man, shouldn't they be sued for running this? It's complete, it's not only propaganda, but it's not even true what they have up there. I mean, I'm not going to waste my time and money suing them, but I'm just saying, you know, the truth is out about this and why healthcare facilities are still running. And of course, it's, you know, these commercials coming from the CDC. But here's a perfect example, this Daniel Horowitz piece, in, and that was done on June 3rd of 2022. And he has the data listed out there, and it shows all of these people, all these age groups, how many people were hospitalized, how many people were admitted to ICU, and how many deaths occurred. And out of all of those people admitted to the hospital, only one was unvaccinated. And I mean, there's literally, well, 500 people that week were admitted to the hospital, but not to the ICU. 500, 247 and 227, that's 474. So roughly 500 patients admitted to the hospital, and all of them had received vaccine and booster, well, minimum at least one vaccine. So there you go. You know, more evidence that this frickin' stupid snake oil that they are promoting doesn't do what it, what vaccines normally are supposed to do. So, kind of along with that, is this other story I wanted to get to. Let's see, come on. Oh man, this new, I'm telling you, this new, once I learned to master this new note-taking software, writing software I'm using, it's called Obsidian. Oh my gosh, after the show the other day, I actually went and kind of experimented with some of the features of this program, and I was like, holy cow, this is going to be so nice. So just let me, like, while I'm in the midst of being confused here by what I'm looking for, I'll explain. So I wanted to go to this story about heart inflammation, okay? But I was way up at the top of my notes where the intro is, basically. Well, I could put in the top of the notes, you know, like a pointer to each heading in my notes, and one would have said heart inflammation, and I could have clicked on it, would have taken me right to this story, and then when I get done talking about this, at the bottom, I could say return to top, or have a pointer that goes back to where I left off, and you know, just click that and I'd be right back on it. So that'll be awesome once I master that. And I was kind of getting the hang of it after the last show, but I didn't quite incorporate all of it into these notes. But I'm telling you, when I do kind of get them nailed down, it's going to be awesome. So anyway, here's the story. Heart inflammation much higher than blood clotting issues since the vax. This heart specialist, let me see, let me give credit where credit's due. This is the Epoch Times, and it's Dr. Sanjay Verna. And I want to see where he's from. Adult cardiologist practicing in Coachella Valley, California, sees a few hundred patients a month, and since last summer he has seen possibly a dozen patients whose heart conditions might be connected to the COVID vaccine. Heart specialist sees many more cases of heart inflammation since COVID vaccine rollout. Dr. Sanjay Verna, I already read that part, sorry. I can only say possibly, not definitively, because we do not yet have any diagnostic test that 100% says this caused this. I think you know what that means. What we do is what's called a process of exclusion. We look for common associations like coronavirus, influenza virus, other infections, atherosclerosis or coronary artery disease, alcohol, recreational drugs, and if everything keeps coming back negative or normal, then by default and process of exclusion, vaccine-associated heart injury is a possibility. Usually we don't even see that many heart problems in a year, adding that prior to the pandemic would be much less than that per year. Verna is puzzled as to why the media has given more attention to COVID vaccine blood clot issues when there have been many more cases of myocarditis, according to his observation. And hey, and I got to tell you, you know, I was kind of thinking about this because, you know, that spike protein causes a lot of inflammation, not only in the heart, but apparently it has some affinity for heart tissue. But, you know, I've read several articles that say if you have inflammation somewhere in your body, this spike protein can move in and kind of amplify it. And I was kind of thinking about that when my meniscus tore, because literally there is no reason for my meniscus to tear. But if it was inflamed, or maybe, who knows, maybe the spike protein, you know, kind of got in that spot and started causing problems. And yeah, I'm concerned, man, but I'm not going to worry my life away about it. I'm having too good a life right now. And I've had a great life. God, good God. I wish I could really tell you all how fantastic my life has been. But you hear it. I mean, you hear it when I'm yapping about it on the air. Anyway, let's move on. Oh, no, I want to go through these things because I just put up a bunch of tabs in my browser because I just wanted to see some of these things. I wanted to go by them pretty quick. Oh, yeah, I saved one for just in case. Oh, yeah, Fauci had... some more information came out that Fauci and other top scientists had another secret COVID-19 origins call where, of course, they dreamt up some stories and tried to make it sound like it didn't come from the Wuhan lab and, you know, tried to convinced everybody in the world, basically, at least officially, they thought they convinced everybody that, yeah, this couldn't have come from that lab. Man, and I do remember a story this week I was reading about the monkeypox. And we're going to see more stuff about that, that's for sure. It's, you know, now the story is that the monkeypox virus may have been spreading much more undetected. Well, how really? How would it be spread undetected? But you know that the crisis has got to come. I mean, it's time. The elections are coming up. The Democrats know, or at least think, if they believe the mainstream media, and you know, that there's going to be a wipeout. They got to do something to stop it because, you know, they don't want to, release power to anybody else, especially the Republicans. And you're seeing a big fight right now. I mean, you know, it's all going to be about emotions, especially every single shooting incident that actually fits the criteria of something that they wanted to make an emotional appeal about guns, they're going to talk about. And so you're going to hear every single, you know, possible shooting that fits the criteria. And the mainstream media is going to just repeat it. They're going to keep playing it up because that's what they do. Man, and if you've listened to some of the stories this week, in the past 2 weeks, and you hear the way these people talk about guns and bullets, you know that they have no idea what they're talking about. One of the guys I listen to every day, he was like, he had a caller on, and the caller was talking about assault weapons, and he said, well, I'd just like you to define an assault weapon. Yeah, couldn't be done. You know, couldn't do it. And then I heard one reporter said that the kid who shot up the kids in the school had his gun on full semi-automatic. And I was like, who writes for you? Like, who actually wrote that? Yeah, there's no such thing. I mean, I guess full semi-automatic, but I think what they were trying to convey was it was a fully automatic assault weapon. Now, honestly, I haven't even looked into that personally myself because I don't care. But if it was a full auto, that would be different than a full semi-auto. Because full semi-auto is just semi-auto. There's no difference between, I mean, nobody, there's no even definition to fit full semi-automatic. It's either semi-automatic or automatic. It's that simple. But the idea is that you get people fired up with emotions thinking that this kid went in with an AR-15 style assault weapon on full auto, which he probably couldn't actually get his hands on. Maybe, legally, I don't think he could have got a full auto AR-15. And then just like, you know, in the movies, full auto AR-15 to all these kids. And that's not what happened at all, at least not from every single report that you've heard. You hear about some bullets being fired, shots being fired, not full auto shots being fired, not a machine gun basically going off, but shots being fired, you know, kind of over and over and over again, which is really sad, man. I mean, really sad. Which brings me to this next story I want to talk about is, well, like, one of the greatest things I ever heard. At least at first, I was like, oh, hell yeah, let's do this. This was actually my answer ahead of time. I think even last week I may have mentioned something like this, but lawmakers in Ohio, let me bring this story up. Come on, baby. Oh, my God. What did I link it to? Oh, you idiot. That's okay. That's not a big deal. Sub-house bill. So lawmakers in Ohio presented laws for the school systems in Ohio to be able to arm teachers. Sub-house bill 99. Oh, I wish I knew where that was from. Dang it. It's okay. It's not a disaster yet. Anyway, sub-house bill 99 would give a school board the option to allow any adult in the school to carry a firearm with an ambiguous amount of training. Okay, so the original bill, they kind of, I guess, didn't have any idea how much training it would take to get somebody to carry their firearm in class. But I'm telling you, so some schools in Texas allow this already. And I think, I'm not 100%, okay, let's say this. If anybody wants to walk in a school and start killing people, well, they're going to probably shoot a few people before fire is returned on them, whether the teachers are armed or not. Because that's how evil works, man. It's like if somebody wants to kill somebody, they're probably going to be able to kill at least one person, right? Because they're the ones who are thinking like ahead and everybody else is thinking, okay, we're just doing another day of school here, everything's fine, and then all of a sudden a guy opens fire, it's probably going to hit at least one person. But you got to think, man, if you know that there's some teachers armed in any facility, you may not get away with much. And this is what I've always believed. The way you stop a bad guy with a gun is with a good guy with a gun. Or another person with a gun. And I think this is the perfect answer, honestly. Yeah, there's some problems with it. There are some problems. I mean, I'm gonna get into them in a minute. I want to kind of get through how they kind of went ahead and... And plus, Ohio, man. I was so shocked. Like, Ohio? Really, Ohio decided to do this? Like, wow, good, Ohio. I'm happy for you. And hell yeah, let's do this. All right, so let's go over it. So the initial bill, of course, had to be kind of edited. Everybody had to discuss it a little bit, and what they did was they sent the bill back. The new bill has also annual re-qualification training, but it can't be more than 8 hours, I guess, because that's a school board thing. Like, there's only so much continuing education, like requirements to continue to be a teacher. That being said, the bill does not prohibit a school district from requiring additional training. It just can't be mandated by the state. The bill creates the Ohio School Safety and Crisis Center within the Department of Public Safety to be operated by the Ohio Mobile Training Team, which would develop the curriculum and training. Although not originally included in the bill or the sub-bill, an amendment to the sub-bill added that armed individuals must have a criminal background check. Yeah, that would probably be smart to have your teachers have a criminal background check before they get a gun. That's probably a good idea. Previously, armed teachers would have to become peace officers with more than 700 hours on average of They said, no, we're not going to do that. The new version of the bill was proposed during a Senate committee hearing Tuesday. Hundreds came to oppose the bill. Throughout the entire hearing process, around 350 people submitted testimony against the bill, while about 19 testified in favor. I wonder where those 350 people came from. I wonder who paid those 350 people to show up. But anyway, the Senate said, we don't care about you, 350 paid protesters. We're moving forward. The lawmakers chose to push the new version of HB 99 forward. This was an emotional debate with Democratic lawmakers urging the Republicans to not vote for it. The vote was 23-9, mainly along party lines. Republican State Senators Matt Dolan from Chagrin Falls and Stephanie Kuntz from Hilliard voted with the Dems. This then sent the bill back to the House, since the substitute was so different from the original bill they had passed. More emotional whining and crying from the other side. It's infuriating. Yeah, yeah. Moms demand action. Bob Sexton with the Buckeye Firearm Association said this bill would do the opposite. We've learned over time that the faster an active killer is engaged, the more lives that are saved. So whether that's law enforcement that engages quickly, or it's someone who's in the school who is willing to volunteer to be armed to protect our kids, we want to see an active killer confronted immediately. I agree 100%. And then from Texas, when an active shooter comes to the school, they're going to get swarmed from multiple directions. This was a quote from a story about, you know, having armed teachers in Texas. Armed shooters go where they know there's going to be little resistance. And, I mean, what a great point. We've made the schools gun-free zones. So, of course, gun-free zones target rich environment. I hate to say it that way because those are innocent little kids we're talking about. But, yeah, you know, make it a gun-free zone, and then, you know, everybody who can read will, of course, not go into a gun-free zone. You know, no guns allowed. Okay, we won't go in there. Yeah, they go in, no problem. They know they're not going to meet any resistance, so they're going to, you know, wreak havoc for however long it takes for cops to get there, generally 4 to 10, 15 minutes. And, yeah, that's a lot of dead or wounded people for sure. But if they don't know where they're going to get resistance, they're not going to come to our schools. Okay, so here's some problems I see. So I had a story also I read earlier that there's some school who's punishing the graduates by not allowing them to attend graduation because they didn't get a vaccine. So you remember this past 2 years with school boards and school teachers, you know, kind of laying down the demands and enforcing the mask mandates on their own. You know, they were given a certain amount of power and they that power went to their head. And I could see this very problem in the future. You would really hope not. But honestly, you got to ask yourself, after what you've seen the past 2 years, and I'm still going to end up on the side of, yes, let's arm every single teacher who wants a gun. Let's buy it for them. Let's buy them the bullets. Make sure they get the training. If they suck, keep training them till they get better, till they're awesome, till they feel comfortable, ready to go. Hang on, cough. Got some saliva right in the windpipe there. That's going to suck. But yeah, man, let's get them armed up. Let's protect the kids. Like, let's really protect the kids. Like, no BS freaking gun-free zone, which nobody is going to pay attention to who actually wants to do some harm. Yeah, like, okay, you know, you can imagine a guy just sitting in his basement, you know, kind of dim lighting, sitting in his underwear, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to go kill a bunch of kids today. Let's see, which one of those, oh yeah, it's a gun-free zone, I can't do it at a school because it's a gun-free zone. No, they're already thinking about killing somebody. They're not really going to abide by any other little tiny law along the way. I mean, this kid jumped in a car. He didn't have a driver's license. He drove erratically. He crashed the car. He stole the car from his parents or grandparents. I don't know. Yeah, it's not like he was worried about abiding by any laws on the way to, you know, killing a bunch of people. So, yeah, but what I was getting at is, so imagine these teachers who probably are also on the school board. I don't know. Some of them probably are. Some of them probably aren't. It seems like the school board is made up of some elected members at times and appointed members. I don't know. But let's just say teachers. Let's just say teachers in general. And look at the discussions we've been having about, you know, teaching our teaching children as young as kindergarten about sex and gender identity. Okay, so let's say you're the parent of one of those children, and you're like, hey, I'd like to meet with so-and-so teacher and this principal to discuss what my, you know, 7-year-old came home and told me today. Well, what's to say that teacher doesn't, you know, just identify that parent as a terrorist and see them as a threat and, you know, go ahead and kill that parent or shoot that parent? I could see that happening literally after what I've seen the last 2 years with kind of the way power went. Oh, see, I almost did that with my knee. That would have sucked. Yeah, I would have squealed a little bit there. But yeah, you could see that happening. I literally could see that happening. No doubt in my mind that that power could be abused. Now, I would hope that the people who would get the training would also get some kind of psychological evaluation to, you know, determine whether or not they could keep their personal feelings and political feelings in check enough to carry a firearm safely and to do what it is that, you know, I think a lot of people would like to see accomplished with these kind of laws is, yeah, you know, I mean, I think public schools ought to be abolished anyway. They're horrible. They're absolutely horrible. The education that students in the United States are getting is below many other countries who have far less money than we throw at our public school system. And, you know, we're just raising dummies. I mean, we're basically, you know, you go to school, you don't have to learn, especially in Oregon, we have a law now. Nope, you don't have to learn to read. You don't have to be able to write. And you don't have to be able to do math to finish. I want to say graduate, but okay, graduate from high school. Yeah, so they're horrible, and I would like to see them all abolished, and then our kids would be safer because they're not, you know, they're not fish in a barrel, basically, sitting around unprotected in a school buildings or school setting. And especially, like, why are they there even? Like, I mean, if you're not going to actually learn something, why even? It's a complete waste of time. I mean, there's some kids who have aspirations of doing something else after high school that requires them to do well in high school. That may be, it may be college, which, you know, don't get me started on that. Or it may be a tech school. It may be, you know, some kind of skill training or apprenticeship, you know, and you have to be able to compete. You know, those programs may look at what your grades were in high school. So yeah, some kids have aspirations of doing really well, and they do well. But hell, the standards are so damn low right now that, you know, to say that you were the valedictorian of some whatever school really isn't saying what it used to say. Well, I don't really know that. Maybe it's always been a little bit of a... just seems like we had to work a lot harder, you know, to get good grades and move on in the world than people do now. Well, oh, so while I'm on the subject, let's talk about, you know, some of the things that have happened with armed citizens in the United States, at the very least. It says armed citizens stop active shooter incidents. The FBI reveals how many, this is from the Daily Signal, how many active shooters were stopped by citizens. The FBI announced Monday that citizens stopped six active shooters in 2021. I think that's an extremely low number myself, and I'll tell you why, is because you can see, if you go look, you can see time and time again where armed citizens have stopped where armed citizens have stopped crime or criminals, not necessarily active shooters, but apparently the FBI says armed citizens stopped six active shooters in 2021. But let's see, did they expound on this much at all? Mass killing is defined as three or more killings in a single incident. So that kind of raises the bar a little bit. You know, to make the definition of an armed citizen stopping an active shooter, the active shooter had to have shot and killed at least three or four people. I don't know, like, it seems to me like, okay, let's say three, because like three or four, I don't know. So depend on what state you're in, if it's three or four. Yeah, don't get me started. And let's see, recent example. What happened? How come I didn't? Come on, let's go. Armed home invaders. This is from The Blaze. Armed home invaders wearing ski masks shoot homeowner, send him to the hospital. That victim also has a gun and shoots both crooks dead. How about that? And that was, when was that? I wasn't that. May 30th, 2022. Two men entered a residence in Carbon Hill, Alabama on Thursday morning and shot and wounded the homeowner. But the homeowner, who was also armed and fatally shot both suspects. What are the details? When I arrived on scene, I noticed there were two subjects dead inside the home. I actually loved that. You know, here's the deal. Like, even if you purchase a gun to conceal carry, you really have to have this conversation with yourself. Like, am I actually gonna be able to kill another human being? Because there's not, you're not gonna shoot someone in the knee unless you are really, not only a really good shot, because that really doesn't matter. You could be an excellent shot with any kind of weapon. But when you're faced with that, and yeah, I know from experience, I didn't actually have to shoot somebody, but I have readied myself to shoot somebody, you're shaking. There's adrenaline going, man. The fight or flight is fully kicked in. And you need to be able to steady your hand if it's a handgun, or steady your arm if it's a long gun, unless it's a shotgun. You can pretty much, like, aim for center mass with a shotgun. You're going to be fine. But any other, a bullet, you need to be able to aim when you're shaking and terrified, especially if somebody's pointing a gun back at you. You have to make the decision ahead of time. If I'm ever in this position, will I pull the trigger before you ever purchase and carry that firearm? Because if you can't, man, I hate to say don't, but you're asking for trouble. You know, I have a personal history with violence in my family. Something that happened when I was 18 years old. And that point in my life, I decided I am never going to stand by and let violence happen around me. That whatever it is within my power to prevent, I'm going to prevent it. I'm not going to watch somebody beat down somebody in front of me. I'm not going to watch somebody abuse somebody in front of me or an animal in front of me. I probably wouldn't kill somebody for abusing an animal, but I'd probably come close because they're all evil bastards. And I mean, yeah, not much to say more about that. But like, taking someone's life should be considered seriously. And you need to understand that if you're going to get in a gunfight with somebody, there's actually some video out there you can see of a state trooper and a bad guy on the side of the road. They are literally, I want to say, 6 feet apart, maybe 8 feet apart. They start shooting at each other, and neither one hits the other one. Multiple rounds fired. I mean, as soon as the shooting starts, they're both moving for cover, but it's crazy to see that exchange that close together. One guy is an armed professional, and they don't hit each other because it's terrifying. It's terrifying. And if you're not ready to make that, if you haven't made that decision ahead of time, I don't know, man. You know, run. Like, run. That's your only other option, is to run. Don't stand there wondering if you are going to do it or not. You know, and for me, it was simple. It was so simple for me. And I'm not going to share the details of what happened with, you know, in public. I'm just going to say that what happened was so flippin' horrific that I wanted to kill this person, and I got in trouble for trying to kill this person, and he was an evil bastard. And from that point on, it was just like, nope, ain't happening. It's not happening if I have a way to prevent it. So whatever means I have to keep somebody from killing or harming somebody else, I'm going to do it. And I am not a big tough guy. I'm really not. Physically, like, intimidating. Yeah, I'm like 5'11", 240. But I'm not, you guys have seen me on video. I'm just not that terrifying looking. Well, yeah, I am, because I shaved my head. That I've been told that's, you know, that can make you, I mean, basically a white supremacist right off the bat. Actually, I have alopecia, but but you know, yeah, you live with the cards you're dealt, I guess. Play with the cards you're dealt. Yeah. So anyway, have a reason to know that you're going to carry out, you know, if you're going to carry a gun, be ready to know that if you ever draw that weapon, you're going to pull the trigger. Because if you don't, you're going to be in a bad spot. Well, probably dead. What else we got on the agenda? Well, one thing I did want to talk about, it's kind of crazy. So one of the laws that Biden and his retards started working on was raising the age to buy an assault weapon. There's so many things wrong with this statement, with the whole idea. Number one, let's just take raising the age to 21. Okay, well, you can get an abortion at any age without parental consent in this country. You can kill a baby at any age in this country without parental consent. But now you're going to wait till you're 21 to purchase an assault weapon. Cough time, hang on. Yeah, let's just figure out what's wrong with that whole scenario. One is, like, in my opinion, an assault weapon is any weapon you're going to use in an assault. I know what they want to say. I remember a few years ago, probably what, in Obama's administration, we went through this whole thing again, like, or before, and it was about black guns. They just called them black guns. I was like, you people are so retarded. But okay, yeah, so assault weapon, like, there's no definition of an assault weapon. They use the term to kind of keep the waters muddied, because you can tell that the people who are on board with banning assault weapons, they have no idea what that is. They have an image in their mind of a black gun, of an AR-15 style gun. And it's funny, those guns are not the ones most commonly used in school shootings, for example. Handguns are. You know, and people really don't know this, but an assault weapon, the assault weapons they're talking about, they fire one bullet with each pull of the trigger, just like a handgun, most handguns. In fact, most every gun fires one round with each pull of the trigger. Now, some guns have multiple rounds ready to be fed into the chamber, and some of those rounds are fed automatically into the chamber. So each time you pull the trigger, a round comes out. So what's the definition here of an assault weapon? Anyway, so they want to raise the age to 21 for you to buy a gun. Of course, they'll send you to war at age 18. What was the other thing? Oh yeah, the CDC pulled this nasty, dirty trick this week. And the mainstream media is complicit in spreading this rumor. So, for everybody who's looking for the truth, and you can find that here on the Redneck Dennis podcast, and others, lots of others, by the way, and I'm so proud there's so many people out there getting the truth out, because the truth, we need the truth. Everybody needs to know the truth. The CDC came out with a statement this week that guns were the number one killer of children in the United States. The number one killer of children in the United States. And I was like, that's not true. Like, more kids die in drowning incidents than guns. And more kids die from texting while they're driving, or more kids die in driving accidents than are killed by guns in the United States. Oh, but guess what the CDC did? They actually, I got to check timing here. Oh, we got lots of time. The CDC actually manipulated the data. They didn't falsify it necessarily, but they just went ahead and added a few age years beyond what any of us would consider a child. I mean, okay, I'll go as far as, you know, well, you're 17 years old, 364 days. Okay, you're a child until tomorrow. When you're 18, you're on your own. You're 18. You're a grown human adult. It's time to go get a job and take on some responsibility. So get out of here. No, they moved the whole child definition up to age 20. Seriously? Like, do you consider a 19-year-old a child? I mean, your child, yeah. You know, yeah, that's my kid. But a child? No, they're an adult. You know, you tell them their whole life, pretty much, oh, when you're 18, you can do whatever you want. Yeah, you get to be all grown up, and you get to do whatever you want. You don't want to clean your room? Oh, you don't have to clean your room. Mm-mm. You don't want to do the dishes? Nope, don't have to do the dishes. Don't have to clean the toilet. You can live like an absolute pig for the rest of your life if that's your choice. Oh, but it's going to cost you, because wherever you're living, they're going to want you to pay rent. And then, of course, if you want power and internet and water and garbage, yeah, all those things cost money, and you're all grown up, so you get to pay it yourself. But no, the CDC, I guess, didn't have enough data in the whole child data thing, so they had to put in a couple extra age groups in there from 18, 19, and 20 years old. You know, that's just dirty. It's just dirty. And you know, the whole idea is they just want to, you know, they just want to make the emotional argument that, you know, kids are dying by gunshots. Yeah, they are. And what are we doing to stop it? Well, we're defunding the police. We're removing these officers, I forget what you call them, from the schools, because, you know, people, you know, don't want kids being, you know, I guess hassled by peace officers in the schools. So we remove them. We make it a gun-free zone so they're completely safe in these school buildings. Yeah. But, you know, 18, 19, and 20-year-olds are doing a lot of killing outside of school. And a lot of them are being shot outside of schools. But that's not going to work. You got to make it sound like it's so much worse than it is. And, you know, that's exactly the problem with politics. One of the greatest problems with politics is you can't just tell the truth and move forward. Like, you have to change the narrative to make it some kind of an emotional response from the people who actually vote. You know, so if you said, well, the leading cause of death in children under 18 is drowning. Oh, what's the second leading cause of death? Well, driving. Well, what's the third? How about what's the 12th? Oh yeah, somewhere down here around like 15 is shootings. It's ridiculous. But that's what the narrative's going to be for the who knows how long. You know, for, well, at least the rest of this year, you're going to hear these politicians argue back and forth. You know, the Democrats are going to say Republicans don't care about kids. Our kids are dying in the street. Here you have in Ohio, the people are actually doing something, are actually making a law to say, let's arm the teachers. We need guns in the school to address somebody coming in shooting people. Let's put the guns in the hands of our teachers, any teachers who want to do it. And believe me, I'm sure there's a bunch of teachers who would love to do that. I'm sure there's teachers who hate being in those positions when kids are being shot and they have no possible way to stop it. And they probably wish they did have a way to stop it. And they didn't. Instead, they had to watch those kids die in front of them. But let's, you know, but no, let's instead, let's protest an actual plan that would actually protect kids in school by arming teachers. Yeah, let's get a bunch of paid protesters to go in and say, no, we don't want our kids protected. We don't want you to have guns in the school. We want them to just sit there and get shot when somebody comes in. Yeah, of course, they don't say that. But that is what they're saying. You know, don't protect them. What else we got on the agenda here? Oh, good. I covered almost everything. I didn't put too much stuff in here today. Let's go back up to the top, make sure I didn't miss anything. Oh, yeah. Good Lord. Oh, yeah. And here's another thing about the whole age thing. Now, seriously, you got to think to yourself, like, is this administration... It's almost like they're purposefully destroying every ounce of support from every possible, like, group they can. Because just imagine, so 18, 19, and 20-year-olds are now, like, even, like, especially ones who are like, man, as soon as I'm 18, I'm going to go buy me a nice handgun to protect myself. And then they're like, oh, you got to be 21 to buy an assault weapon. And so everybody's, those three years, 18, 19, and 20-year-olds are like, screw you guys. I want a gun. I'm going out into the world. I want to protect myself. And there's a lot of people, man, who believe in protecting themselves. I just wish there were a lot more. Seriously, I wish there were a lot more. I think a lot less damage would be done in the world if we armed more people. If more people would just be armed, for crying out loud. It's your right. I just, you know, I honestly can't imagine living with this thought that you're going to be fine, that nobody's ever going to harass you, nobody's ever going to rob you, nobody's ever going to assault you. And if they do, you know, you'll probably be okay. You know, the police won't let that happen. It's such a joke because the police are so far away. But people go through their lives, man, and, you know, they're unarmed, they're oblivious of what's going on around them. They don't see the evil in the world the way it is. It's out there, man. And if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, they're going to get you. And what's your response going to be? Nothing, because you don't have a gun. Maybe a knife, maybe pepper spray, something, man. Carry something. Go get a gun. Learn to carry it. Learn to shoot well. Make the decision that you're not going to let evil exist in front of you. You're not going to let bad people do stuff. Hey, thanks for joining me. I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.